Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. I'm Genevieve Randall. This week on our Friday Live Extra, we'll feature two segments. A little bit later, I'll talk with a member of a chamber ensemble coming to perform in Lincoln. But right now, I'm joined by Dick Morris, who is with the St. Paul United Methodist Music and Arts Series. He's also a musician and happens to be performing on the January 4th, First Friday performance at St. Paul there, featuring all of the keyboards at St. Paul United Methodist. Dick, welcome.
Thank you. Always good to be with you, Genevieve.
Well, even though it's all themed around keyboards, this looks like a wild variety to me.
It sure is.
So the keyboards that we feature are the piano, the harpsichord, the organ, and the McKinley Memorial Bells.
That's right.
And your performer for the bells is Nancy Shane, who she regularly plays
yes.
ahead of
yes,
these concerts.
Yes, she does. Mm-hmm.
By the way, those concerts start at 12:10, and she'll play bells leading up to, but this time
well,
it's
actually,
a feature
this
of.
She'll be featured starting at 12:10.
Yeah, right. So this time mm-hmm. she gets to be part of the feature. And I wonder if you could describe for our listeners, it's been a while since we've talked about maybe how those bells are played.
Okay, you sit, and it's almost like sitting at a console, but I describe them as sticks
uh-huh.
coming out. And you have to, with your fist, you know, and they're levers, really, and to play. And then that mechanism pulls on a wire that goes up to the clapper and makes the clapper hit the bell. That's the best way I can do it. It's a pretty interesting bit of work and energy.
Well, and to see someone do it, they're making this mm-hmm. fist that mm-hmm. they hit that stick with.
That's
it,
right.
It looks like kind of a muscular operation.
Yeah. These are pretty well, you can almost grab the stick with your hand and go up and down, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, and we've just, these have been refurbished just this year.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like Nancy's got quite a list of different things. There's even a song that has the name Amy Grant attached to
That's
it.
That's right.
Just something a little bit more popular, along with We Three Kings,
right.
which is appropriate for, because we're still in the 12 days of Christmas.
That's right. Epiphany, actually, is this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. And then you're featuring the grand piano. Tell us about your performer and what they're performing.
Okay. Paul Zeller is a second-year a doctoral student in piano at UNL, and he gave one of his recitals a few months ago at St. Paul, and I thought, aha, this is a good person to get here. So he will be playing on our incredible concert grand piano and doing selected movements from the Schumann Carnival because he couldn't do the whole work. It wouldn't be time, you know. So, yes.
And it looks – that's an interesting piece too, I think.
Yes.
That Schumann.
That's right.
Movements named after Chopin even,
mm-hmm.
sort of a little tribute it looks like there to
That's
other
right.
composers. Well, let's move on to then the harpsichord.
Yes.
Where did St. Paul get this harpsichord from again?
From Connecticut, and it was Zuckerman, and we've only had it, well, since Easter is
uh-huh.
when we got it. And two manuals and wonderful instrument, and so Misako Bacon, who's currently the director of music at First Lutheran Church, will be playing. And, of course, she's adjunct also at Wesleyan. So she'll be doing wonderful pieces on the harpsichord, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we're just trying to have this variety. And then we end with the organ.
Yes, which is you.
And this is an unusual piece I'm playing called Nova by Myron Roberts, who longtime professor of organ that I studied with, actually. So you know it was a long time ago. But he was also an amateur astronomer. So this piece called Nova is really, in a sense, a description of an explosion of a star, a supernova. So you find yourselves floating through space musically, and then you hear the rumblings, and then a massive explosion, and then we float through space again. A fascinating piece, very interesting, particularly if you know the storyline. If you don't, you begin to wonder what you've been listening to. So I think it's going to be a fun program with it, just such a variety, you know, of instruments and performers and pieces, you know.
I find it really fun to think about that Myron Roberts piece and being able to listen for
yeah,
those
and then we're
things.
Going to have visual effects.
Oh, yes, that's
too.
Right. St. Paul has two really big screens on mm-hmm. either side mm-hmm. of the organ there. So what's the visual going to be?
It's just going to be spatial. You'll be floating, and then all of a sudden, I don't know. I haven't seen them yet, but explosions of some sort, I guess. And so, yeah.
Who's working with you on creating the visual?
That's Josh Gingrich, who's on the staff at St. Paul.
Okay. That's another unique aspect to this particular performance.
Yes.
Well, and now in addition to the First Friday performances hosted there at St. Paul, in Pain Parlor there, you always have artwork.
That's right.
And what is the artwork for
the
January?
The artwork this year, at this time, is quilts by members of the church. And they're just putting them up today, so I've been able to watch it. And they're wonderful. One goose was actually done over 100 years ago.
Oh, nice.
A couple from our new senior minister, she brought a couple, and other people have contributed, and it's lovely, lovely quilts. So they'll be there in place for the entire month.
Well, with Lincoln being the home of the International Quilt Study Center.
That's right.
There's probably some great interest there in seeing those quilts. Well, once again, it's music and art. The artwork is in Pain Parlor, and this month it's quilts through the month of January, right?
That's right.
And then the music, of course, featuring the four keyboards of St. Paul United Methodist. Music starts at 12:10, and there is lunch available before
Lunch you do pay for it, but you're in the midst of the art and wonderful conversation. So it's a great day every time.
Dick Morris is curator and also performer this month on the St. Paul United Methodist Music and Art Series. And Dick, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate being here very much.
For the second half of our podcast this week, I talk with Conrad Tau. He is a pianist, composer, and musician who performs with the Junction Piano Trio. They're coming to be a part of the Lincoln Friends of Chamber Music series. That performance is Wednesday, January 9th at 7:30 p.m. in the Johnny Carson Theater at the Lead Center. And he joins me right now. Conrad, it's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Now, you've got quite the accolades to your name as a composer just in your solo career. You were just 13 when you were featured on a PBS series. You have been the winner of 8 consecutive ASCAP Morton Gould Young Composer Awards, another prize from BMI, and the only classical artist named by Forbes magazine in 2011 as one of the 30 under 30 in the music industry. How have you done all of this, Conrad?
I have done everything in my life mostly just by trying to just do stuff that is interesting to me. It's pretty, when I think about how I've made my choices, I feel like a hedonist more than anything else. I feel as though I'm guided just by what's interesting and what's pleasurable and what is challenging. I find challenges deeply pleasurable and indulgent in all the really fun ways. So that's what it feels like to me. And I've been lucky enough to be not just supported, but I think supported in healthy ways throughout my life and career. So I don't know, lots of people to thank.
Well, and it looks like your passion for music started at a pretty young age. How did you get interested in music?
Well, I started playing the piano on my own when I was about 18 months old. I have a sister who's 5 years my senior, and when I was born, she was taking piano lessons just like in our local community with a local piano teacher, but we had an instrument in the house as a result. And so I just started picking tunes out on the instrument, and it started out really simply. It started out with nursery tunes. It started out with Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I don't remember it happening. The only reason I know it happened at all is that we've got some VHS tapes of it, but I don't have any recollection of it. It dates back to a time before my brain was recording any memories. But so it's existed in my life in some capacity the entirety of my life, basically. And I don't remember a time when I wasn't making music in some capacity, which is interesting because it's a little harder as a result to articulate what draws me to it, because it's always been a presence of some sort.
Let's learn a little bit about your trio mates in Junction Piano Trio. First of all, I have a question about the name. It's spelled just J-C-T, but pronounced Junction, like the junction of two roads or something. Why did you choose that name?
Well, the initials of our last names combined to form J-C-N-T. And, you know, what is chamber music if not a series of junctions? constantly navigated and negotiated. The hope with any chamber group, I think, is to be something greater than the sum of your parts. And so it seemed like a nice fit.
It's interesting to hear you talk about chamber music as kind of a series of junctions. How do you feel about chamber music as compared to, say, playing solo or playing with like a big orchestra?
I think about it pretty simply, actually. For me, music making is always a social enterprise. There's like a sociality embedded in making music for me, even in a solo context. In a solo performance, for example, you're still having a social experience with your audience. And chamber music is a very distilled version of that. You're having a really intense sociality on stage with a smaller, more intimate number of people. And it has to be, you know, a lot of negotiation live, a lot of like sensitivity to what each of you are doing, a shared sense of how the music should unfold, but also like really intense listening so that you're just really present in the moment. I mean, you can't overplan it. That's one of the great things about playing music is you can't determine what it's going to be until you're actually in the space and doing it. So chamber music for me is a really distilled version of that social quality that I really chase after. But I find it everywhere. I mean, with an orchestra, I get a real kick out of the paradox of trying to achieve like intimacy with 75 other people on stage. That sounds like it should be an oxymoron. And I think that that's why it's really exciting and why it can have such an intense charge. I guess I'm attracted to all of this unpredictability and spontaneity that seems embedded in all of this.
Now, your last name is the T in the name Junction. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the J and the C of your trio?
So the J is Stéphane Jacquise, who is a fabulous violinist. And I don't use this word always as a compliment, but in this case, I really do. There's a real like purity to Stéphane's musicianship and a simplicity and an emotional directness that is just hard to actually achieve in a sound. I think it's we talk as musicians a lot about, you know, something being full of love or something being, you know, poetic or something being yearning, and it's all to shape our path through a piece so that we can feel oriented. But Stéphane, I hear all of that in his sound. I hear like poetry. I hear intimacy and love in his sound. And there's just a clarity to his music making. I never really get the sense that he's trying to impress me, which is great because that's the most boring thing in the world, to hear someone who's trying to impress you. It's just really incredible music making, and I encourage everyone to look him up on YouTube because there are some beautiful performances of his on there that you know, he's great at making music that can sound goopy or sentimental. He's great at making it just sing. There's never excess. So it's just wonderful to make music with someone that honest, and I feel the same way about the C of our trio, Jay Campbell, who is a cellist who I've known about in various contexts for a number of years. Jay is just absolutely brilliant, can play anything. And I first knew Jay as one of the greatest interpreters of new music that I had ever encountered. And that holds true today. Jay has such an originality in the way that he engages with scores and can pretty much do anything. It seems to have like a limitless vocabulary interpretively and just like a real openness. Working with both of them is so, I feel very spoiled because when we rehearse together, I don't feel as though we have to talk through everything. A lot of rehearsing is just playing stuff and trying stuff as we're playing, just kind of seeing how they respond because their ears are so sensitive and they're so alive in their music making that it feels like a really spontaneous experience. So I feel crazy lucky to get to work with them.
Well, with that in mind, would you mind briefly giving us a preview of what kind of music the three of you are bringing to your performance in Lincoln?
Absolutely. So we're thinking a lot about folk influences on our program. So we start the show out with Haydn's Piano Trio number 39 in G major, which is colloquially named the Gypsy Trio, because it has a third movement, a rondo in the Hungarian style, that incorporates a lot of folkish energy. And so that's a guiding thing throughout the whole program. The Haydn is immediately followed by Charles Ives' Piano Trio. And Ives is well known for incorporating folk tunes in his work. And this trio has plenty of that as well. And the way that I've worked with folk tunes is really instructive. I think it's not mere collage. It's not just a collection of ideas or influences. It feels like when Ives utilizes folk tunes, it is to serve a real expressive purpose. There is a sense of perhaps nostalgia or just wistfulness, a remembering of his own musical past, his childhood. I've had a father who is a band leader, a local band leader, and I hear just a lot of emotional foraging in the way that he uses pre-existing musical material. So there is a scherzo, the second movement of the trio, which is subtitled Tiage, T-S-I-A-J, or This Scherzo is a Joke. And in that movement, it's really kind of it's like a barn dance with bands playing in every different corner, playing at different speeds and different tunes all at the same time. It's kind of a cacophonous experience. But the final movement incorporates the tune Rock of Ages to really, really poignant effect. I guess what I'm trying to say is that he uses a lot of pre-existing material, but never in a remotely like ironic way. It's always to this very earnest end. And then the concert ends. The second half is Dvorak's Piano Trio number 3 in F minor. And Dvorak's music always has the influence of folk music. There is a lifelong fascination with Czech folk music throughout Dvorak's entire career and just this general interest in musical vernacular. So it's a stunning, stunning, stunning piece with a third movement, a slow movement that is especially heartrending and seems to exist in some timeless space that spans the 19th century and the 16th century all at once, at least in the way that we hear it. Who knows about everyone else and who knows about Dvorak? That man's dead. But it's a really stunning work. And so the whole program is just this highly emotional but also fun music that all engages with folk vernacular music in some way or form.
lots of different lenses on the topic there. Well, I've been talking here with Conrad Tao, who is a composer but also pianist in the Junction Piano Trio. And Junction is coming to Lincoln to perform at the Johnny Carson Theater at the Lead Center as part of the Lincoln Friends of Chamber Music series. That's Wednesday, January 9th at 7:30 p.m. Conrad, a real pleasure hearing from you and talking with you about your music and the trio.
Thanks, Genevieve.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall.